This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, it's America's family hour of worship. All 50 states of the fruited plain. Please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, verse 8, where we left off last time. John chapter 12 verse 8. Now this chapter is talking about God's timetable. God has an appointment and he goes by a strict clock. It was 6 days before Passover at the beginning of chapter 12. And so God was counting down 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And Jesus would become the Passover lamb, die on the cross, say, it is finished, it is done. But what does that mean for you? 2 Corinthians 10 says, these things happen to them as an admonition for those of us who will come to this age. It means that right now, God's clock is ticking. He's on a strict timetable. He has already ticked off 1 trump, 2 trump, 3 trump, 4 trumps, and he's ticking now the 5th trump, which I am blowing, a time of learning, preparation, and soon the 6th trump will sound at the appointed tick on the clock. The Antichrist will appear calling himself the Savior, and that time is shortened, and then the 7th trump shall sound, and Jesus will return. So there we have it. Now, before I begin, I need to cultivate the soil of your mind. Remember that all of these characters in the Bible pertain to you and your Christian life. Last week, Jesus was invited by the beloved family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, for supper. It was 6 days before Passover. I know it warmed his heart because they loved him. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus' name in the Hebrew is Eleazar. In other words, the sleeping priesthood, had finally awakened to the mystery of God. Now, there they were at the table. Lazarus was sitting there at the table, feeding on the food of Jesus. See, many of you are now Lazarus. You have just awakened out of your stupor. You have heard the mystery of God. You know there are 3 earth and heaven ages. You know there was a seduction in the garden. You know the order of the 7 trumps. And you know many of the mysteries. But before you, Lazarus, can go and teach and be a priest, you've got to feed on the word of God. Because you see, you never stop learning. You never stop growing. So Lazarus is awakened. You're awakened. And all of you right now, unless you're just trying to trick me, you're all Lazarus because you are hearing the word of God and you're sitting at the table of Jesus. Understand?
Yes.
Now Martha is just bustling away. Hustle, bustle, rattle those pots and pans. Martha loves Jesus, but Martha feels that if you're not physically moving, that you're not doing any good. I gotta be doing something. I can't just sit here and pray for people. Did you know that you can still sit still and pray? And if you know how to pray with the groanings which cannot be uttered, that you can change things in Africa? We sit here and do this all the time. That is a greater work than running around and around and around. Now, we are to work. I worked my way through college. I'm a hardworking person, so I'm not saying be lazy. But there is a point to be Lazarus and sit at the table of Jesus and hear the word, which you're doing. Good job, A plus on the star. But Martha is very busy about the stuff. Martha just never can stop. She knows about Jesus. She's got to take care of the things about the church. but she's never had that intimacy, that beautiful Mary sitting there with the anointing perfume at the feet of Jesus is anointing him for the wedding supper of the Lamb. So see, some of you are totally Martha. Some of you listening to me, all of you are a little bit of Lazarus. And a few of your elect are Mary. Mary is equipping Jesus, anointing him, so that he will die. He had to die, anointing his feet for the burial. Because she knows that he has to die before we can all live again. She knows that. She is being utilized to put Jesus' enemy under his feet. And you who are the Marys, men and women, when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, when you are definitely delivered up to the Antichrist, if you let him speak his words, you will bruise the head of the enemy and be utilized to put the enemies of Jesus under his feet. So see, all of this is important. Now, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. That was last week. Now let's hear the rest of the story. All of you, because you're listening, you want to grow. You want to be everything God wants you to be. You're being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. You are a threefold person, body, soul, and spirit. So each one of you, to be complete and balanced and totally as a God's elect, you are to be Lazarus, you are to be Martha, and you are to be Mary. And these three are one, okay? Now, all of you are waking up and you want the word of God. You no longer go for the apple and the snake. You know that that wasn't even the fruit, was a forbidden fruit as to lie in a sex act, and you know that the snake was a serpent. You pass that. So you're now listening and you're learning and you're growing, and every day of your life you're hearing more and more, and you'll always get it on Trumpet of Truth. So most of you've got that. That's good. You never stop being Lazarus. If you ever think you know it all and don't stop and sit and study, think, I know that, I don't have to go, then you're in trouble. But now you are to be Martha. Once you hear this word, you come here Wednesdays and Sundays and hear the radio, and you can get me on the internet every day. All you're going to get is the Lazarus deep teaching. But then you're supposed to get up and serve people with what you heard. If you just stay at the table and feed, you still are a dead priest. You got to get up like Martha and serve the word of God to other people. Somebody needs for you to tell them that there is a heaven to gain and a lake of fire to resist. Okay, did you do that this week? Did you witness this week? Did you text this week? Are you trying to win souls this week? Are you bringing to the word? So you must also be Martha. So now Martha and Lazarus are merged. You are both. But all of this, put it together, and we got Mary. Now, with the word of God, and then walking in the word like Martha, doing the word, not sitting staring, doing it, taking it out and living it and walking in it until you come back to church again or hear again, then you are Mary. That means that you have the anointing. She had the anointed perfumes. He will paint himself on you. And then you stay in an attitude at his feet. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What would thou have me to do? Here am I, send me. And you are Mary. You don't literally have to be on your knees, but your heart is, and you turn at the, just the nudge of a dime, you turn at the nuance of the Holy Spirit. And whatever he tells you to do, you do. And you go forth in power of the Holy Spirit. And you take ground. You don't go on the defense, you go on the offense. You go forth and you just level the playing field for Jesus. You get rid of the demons and you get rid of the lies and you stand up for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Okay, now psychiatrist's going to have trouble with your three personalities here. Okay, now we left off last week. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, Iscariot, builder of cities, he's a Kenite right there in the midst, seed of Cain. He said, that perfume, Mary, that you're anointing Jesus' feet, that's expensive. You should have sold that and put it in my bag. He was the treasurer. He said you could give it to the poor. And see, he didn't care about the poor. He wanted Mary to put the money in his bag so he could dip in. So Jesus rebuked him. He said, leave her alone. She's doing this for my burial. Now Jesus continues rebuking Judas for rebuking Mary. He's going to talk about the poor, and we're going to talk about the poor.
Eat, for the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always.
Now, here is Jesus. He can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feed 5,000 men. If all of those men were married, that's 5,000 women. If they, conservatively speaking, have 2 children apiece, that's about 12,000 people. So what's he talking about, poor? All right, when Jesus says to you to feed the poor, I dare say that everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you're a baby Christian, a backsliding Christian, or even an atheist, if you see somebody, you're hungry, you'll feed them, won't you? Yes, of course you will. See, it's in our human nature, unless you're a hard-hearted Hannah or hard-hearted Harry, I'll say that, you automatically, if you see somebody hungry, you would feed them. So why would Jesus have to give you a commandment to feed the poor? Because he knows you're going to do that. We have agencies in the United States of America. They don't believe in God, and they feed the poor. So it would never be necessary to tell most of you or to tell me to feed the poor. We just do that automatically, don't we, Scott? In your produce place, I do it here. So what's he talking about? The world thinks someone is poor if they don't have food and they have raggedy clothes and have a raggedy life. But Jesus thinks you're poor if you're poor in spirit. See, a man in a palace who is poor in spirit and does not have one clue of why he came to this planet, of why he came to his mother's womb, that is the poorest man on earth. And Jesus said you'll have them with you always. He means in this flesh age. We're going to always have people with us who do not get it. They just don't get it. You can beat them over the head and shake them by the shoulders and love them and give them money and say, I'll pay you to understand this. And they still won't get it. So that's what it means. Now, let's take a field trip. However, most of us do help the poor people. And I know, Scott, you and Angela do at your produce place, and I certainly do here at my school and my ministry. And most of us do. So let's take a field trip to how to help these people. From time to time, homeless people come here and they say, oh, Sherry, will you give me $20? I need food. Now, I have a kind heart, and I'm probably going to give them some food to make sure they get food. But here's the first thing I do. I'll say, do you have 10 pennies? Oh, yes. And I'll say, would you give me 2 pennies? No, that's all I've got. Okay, what they don't know is they'll give me 2 pennies, I'll give them $20. They don't know God's law of reciprocity. If you're going to help a poor person, if they don't even have anything in their hand, at least put 10 pennies in their hand. And the reason I say this, the first penny, it's theirs then, they have it. Now you say, give God the first penny. And I never ask for a collection, but give it somewhere where the word of God is taught. Give a penny. Malachi 3, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that I'll be room enough to receive it, I will rebuke the devil for your sakes. And he says there that if you do not tithe, you are cursed with a curse. So the first thing we do when trying to help somebody get back on their feet, and Scott, you do that in your, Angie, in your produce place, we all do, I do this here, is to teach them, give them if they have nothing in their pockets. Most everybody's got something. But if they have absolutely no, give them 10 pennies and say, give a penny back to God. Now, that will erase the curse. See, if you don't tithe, okay. And ask forgiveness, okay. Now, we got to get some money back to them. God's law of reciprocity, 2 Corinthians 9. I want all of you to get this because you all got to help these people so they can get on their feet and stop begging for your money. 2 Corinthians 9 says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And he says, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And later on it goes to say, 2 Corinthians 9, he says, He gives seed to the sower. God watches someone who will take the tenth, give that to God, the tithe, and then is going to add an offering. This is where the blessings come in. The first is just to get the devil off your back, or you're out from under the curse. Now, he says, eat to the sower. If he sees that you are a giver, that you sow extra beyond the tithe, it says he gives bread for your food. He supplies what you need, not what you want, what you need to do God's work and stay alive, and he does. And he says he multiplies your seed sown. Paul says in other Corinthians, he multiplies it 30, 60, 100. I live this way. I have no guaranteed income. I can tell you upside down and inside out, you can beat me to death, but this works. This is God's plan. So the next time somebody begs you money and they got nothing, ask them if they got something, and then you take a penny out and you say, I'll give that to, you know, Trumpet of Truth over there, okay. Two pennies don't help me too much, but that's the point. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, that's helping the poor. See, help them get back up on their feet. So, parentheses, I hope you enjoyed that field trip. Now help people with this, okay? And you do the same thing. By the way, Genesis 8:22. And while earth remains, there will always be seed, time, and harvest. And the harvest is always more than the seed. It's called God's law of reciprocity. But anything you give out love, you're going to get it back. I used to have a food box in my other studio, and it was just there. I kept it filled up all the time with non-perishable goods, and the homeless could just come in and get what they wanted. I didn't even monitor it. And now Scott and Angela bring me food all the time. And it's better. My point is, I'm facetious there, but it's true. If you need love, you don't have any friends, be somebody's friend. Did you think about that? Did you think that somebody might, why don't you call them out and go out to lunch? Hey, can you talk together? Be their friend. Find out what's, you in trouble? Care about somebody else's trouble. What you need, give it out. It'll come back to you, but give it with love. Okay, now we'll continue.
Now, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there.
Jews, Eudas, either our beloved brother Judah or the Kenites, and so a little bit of both there.
And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus.
Okay, they were going to come to church. Well, no, they're gathered around. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are having this supper, and the whole place is filled outside with these people wanting to see Jesus. But they wanted to see Lazarus now because they'd heard he had arisen from the dead. They didn't come for Jesus, who is the Word. They came for the show. You know, it's a time for all of you who've been eaten at the table of Jesus and Lazarus's. It's time you stop watching the show and get up there on the stage and be the show. You're supposed to walk in the Word. And when God sees you walking in the Word, he watches over his Word and he performs it. Jeremiah chapter 1. So get up out of the audience and get on stage and be the show. Be the light for Jesus. Walk in that Word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Also, we had rose from the dead. 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might also put Lazarus to death.
Oh my goodness, somebody comes in there, the crowds around the house where they're having supper, and somebody says, hey Lazarus, the chief priest, the phony priesthood, they not only want to kill Jesus, they want to kill you too, Lazarus. Can you imagine Lazarus says, nay, been there, done that.
Reverend, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus.
Well, it was the miracle. See, actually, Paul tells us that when he gives us gifts of miracles, we have miracles in here all the time. That gift is on us. We give God all the glory. We don't do it. He does. But the miracles are for people who do not believe, so they would believe. If you are a Christian, you don't have to see anything, hear anything, or have anything abnormal. If you're a believer, you believe, though you do not see.
Well, on the next day, much people that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, 13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him.
Now, palm tree, the symbol of a palm tree is victory. Now, most of these people praising the Lord Jesus really did believe he was the promised Messiah, which he was, Messiah, the anointed one. But here's the problem. They wanted him to set up the earthly kingdom right then and there. They wanted to bypass the death, but Ishmael comes before Isaac, and the death of a pure sinless lamb must come before eternal life. So they want the kingdom right there. They want to just honor him and put him up on a throne. And the reason they wanted this is they are selfish. They wanted him to take over the Roman government under Caesar and get Caesar's boot off their neck. You can't blame them. But see, they misunderstand. They only had half of the scripture. See, soon and very soon, Mr. Death is coming in the sky, and he's going to sit on the throne and call himself God. Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. That's the devil in his Jesus costume, the Antichrist. But most people want to bypass that and say that's Jesus and have life. Nope, death comes before life.
And cried, Hosanna.
Hosanna means save now. We don't want any cross there. We don't want any tribulation. We want you to come right now and just give us happy, happy, happy.
Blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. 14, and Jesus went and found a young ass and set thereon, as it is written.
As it is written. Now, an ass, a donkey, we got one of those parties to have donkey. Just think about that. It's a poor man's burro. I will not say any more. A poor man's burro, okay? As it is written. Where is it written? I just taught on the radio not too long ago. Those of you out there should get the book Zechariah on Demand on WMIFM.com, Trumpet of Truth. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Prophesied that the true Messiah would come riding on a lowly ass, a donkey, the foal of an ass. Why did God do this? See, they're trying to elevate him, and they're trying to make him king right then. They do know he's the Messiah. They got that right. But he came the first time to die. Talk about a poor man's friend, a poor man's burrow. He came. Can you imagine God Almighty, who created the womb, coming through the womb of a woman with all of that, and then coming and dying on a cross? So he came and humbled himself. He came as the servant Messiah. He didn't come then to do that. He had to defeat death, whose name is the devil. But the next time he's coming, Zechariah 9 verse 10, is the second advent. Did you know that the Old Testament, Zechariah 9, verse 9, says the first advent, he's lowly riding on a donkey. He's going to come low down, get killed. Verse 10, Zechariah 9, he's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 19, Jesus is coming again, the seventh trump, and he's coming on a great white horse, beautiful horse, power, white purity. Thy King cometh, and he's coming again.
15, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh.
Hear ye, thy King cometh.
Sitting on an ass's colt. 16, these things understood not his disciples.
Now the disciples were Lazarus. They were just awaking out of their sleep. All of them were priests. You're a king and a priest, Revelation 1. But they were disciples. A disciple is a student. And when you're ready then, and you've sat at Jesus' table, and you've done your Martha, and you're ready for Mary, then you're an apostle. They were not ready yet. They did not know the scripture yet. They needed to study a little bit more. Boy, they were the right one to study. Boy, he was going to teach them.
At the first. When Jesus was glorified, then remembered they.
Why did they remember it after he died and arose from the dead? I found the answer. It's in Mark 13. Jesus said, Behold, I have foretold you all things. In other words, every time something would happen, he would take the apostles off and explain them. And all of that is written in the Bible. Everything that you need to know about yourself, every part of your life, good, bad, ugly, pretty, whatever, destiny, mandate, whatever it is, family, relationships, money, all of this has been foretold you. God wrote you a letter. He told you it is written. And so people go hither, thither, and yon, and on Facebook and try to find this. What should I do? What should I do? He has foretold you all things. Everything going on in the United States of America, President Trump, and all of this, all of us, that what we're going through, this has been foretold. Jesus says he reveals his secrets to his prophets. And a prophet is an anointed priest.
That these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. 17, the people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. 18, for this cause also the people met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle.
Okay, lots of people. Everybody was wanting to go to Jesus.
19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him.
The phony church leaders had sent deputies down there to arrest Jesus so they could kill him. And they said, "You, instead of killing him, you go down there and you worship him. You've done no good. The whole world is going after Jesus." Now, Lucifer in the first earth age yelled, "I will be God," and brought death into the equation. And Lucifer always wanted to be God. And he saw those crowds following Jesus there. And Satan, Lucifer, the devil, serpent, was jealous. Soon and very soon, as God's timetable, his clock is ticking. When I finish this mission, this fifth trump, and the two witnesses' voices are in the air, the sixth trump shall sound, and an imitation shall come in the sky. Cheap fabric imitation. There's a spirit of imitation in the body of Christ. People saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Imitation, imitation. Demons are pretending to be Christian. The imitator's coming. Lucifer always wanted everybody to worship him. He's a narcissist. If you're in any kind of a relationship with a narcissist, poor you, get out of that. Because all they do is love themselves. And they want you to love them too, 24 hours a day. And so Satan's going to imitate that. Now you know, that's his dream. His dream is going to actually come true. Revelation 13 says the whole world will go after the Antichrist, half the body of Christ, because five are wise, but five are foolish. They have no oil, no truth, no light. They're not Lazarus awakened. And he's going to get his dream, but God shortened his dream to 5 months. Mark 13, Revelation 9.
20, and there were certain Greeks among them.
These would be the Hellenists. Now, a Greek would not be the pure seed of Abraham. They would be Gentiles. But you see, Jesus came to the lost tribes of Israel to get that word out. But then he opened the door of salvation to whosoever will. So they want Jesus too.
21, the same came therefore to Philip.
Okay, let's just say your name is Susie. And there's somebody out there lost, and they want to know God. And they say, you know, I believe Susie knows God. Susie goes to Trumpet of Truth. So Susie, would you tell me the plan of salvation? Susie, would you tell me why I came through my mother's womb? And now, so that's Philip. Let's see what Philip does.
Which was of Bethsaida, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus.
Susie, we want to know Jesus. Susie, would you tell me how to find Jesus?
And to Philip cometh and telleth Andrew.
Uh-oh, but Susie says, I don't really know how to do that. I mean, I go to church, but I've never won a soul, and I would never, ever in my life even pick up the telephone or text anybody to try to win a soul to Jesus. But I tell you what, I got a friend who does, and so you bring your friend to somebody else who knows the Word of God. Well, that's better than nothing.
And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus.
The main thing is, make sure that you get those people to Jesus. Do you know if you don't, their blood's on your hand? You don't have to win them. If they reject, they reject. But if you do not warn these people rubbing shoulders with you every day, their blood is on your hand. Ezekiel tells us that.
23, and Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
In other words, God's clock is ticking off. It's now 5 days before Passover, when it said the next day, that's the fifth day. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jesus says, I'm about to go to the cross and pay the sin debt. And I will say, it is finished. It is done.
24, verily, verily, I say unto you,
of a truth,
except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Now Jesus, in his wonderful way of teaching, would often use nature. He uses a kernel of corn to explain why he must die so they must live. See, they don't want him to die. They want him to set up the kingdom now. And you take a kernel of corn and you plant it into good soil, watered and fertilized. Now what happens? The kernel actually dies, all right? But the very death of the kernel sort of stimulates a little embryo in them. The embryo, before you ever see it coming up through the ground in the form of a beautiful corn plant, feeds off the kernel. And so, because of the death of the kernel, the embryo lives. God had one son, and he wanted him to till the soil, to plant him in the soil of planet Earth, and the son would die, but the seed would come up. And God would get many sons. Many sons come to glory. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. Thank you. Great word tonight.
Thank you,
Scott. We got some real interesting questions tonight.
Great, okay.
Okay, our first one, does the selection of Rex Tillerson have any spiritual meaning?
Absolutely. Everything is spiritual. All right. The larger bulk of the 10 tribes of Israel, after being captured by Sennacherib, migrated to Europe and came to the United States of America. We don't know who we are because we've lost our Bible scholars. We know that President Trump is from Scotland. Scotland is Hebrew. So God is restoring the pure seed of Israel back to America. In Genesis 1:26, God created all the races and said it's very good. Then God rested on the seventh day. And then when he woke up, he said, wait just a minute. I don't have a man to till the soil. That's like the kernel of corn going into the ground.
Right.
So he created Eth Ha'adam in the Hebrew, the man Adam, through whom Jesus would come to till the soil, to die in the soil and raise up and then bring many sons to glory. Tiller, the son of a tiller, the son of a farmer. Hebrew. God is restoring the 10 tribes of Israel to America. By the way, all of you, I am one of them. I'm the tribe of Levi. I just thought I'd tell you.
Yeah.
Not bragging on it, but he's restoring, so I thought I'd tell you.
That's great. And we're at a time, too, where we need to just discern everything that comes up.
Everything.
Everything must be discerned spiritually.
Every single thing is spiritual.
It's
There's not anything that's by chance. If your dog bites you on the foot, there's something spiritual there.
Right.
Laura.
Okay. Our next question. Somebody wants to know, a friend living in sin continually asked me to pray that God will give them money, cars, etc., all the stuff. What should I do?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. As we learned tonight, there's not a one of us that would not give somebody food if they were hungry. No, when someone's living in sin, we might show them love one or two times there, and we do love them. But you need to sit down and tell that person, you're living in sin. I'm amazed at Christians. They'll go to dinner with people who are living out of wedlock and that's a pure sin. The house is cursed. They are cursed. And you sit and you smile at them, and they're going to walk into the lake of fire. You are accountable for their soul. Tell them that they've sinned, that everybody's sinned, that Jesus paid the sin debt. And if they don't get their life straightened out and turn to Jesus, there's a lake of fire at the end of the millennium. They're going to walk in it. You say, but they'll be mad at me. Good. They got mad at Jesus. They got so mad at him, they killed him. All right, go ahead and do it. No, no, no. You're not doing any good. And you know, they're using God. They're using your relationship with God. I have people say, you know God, Cheryl, you pray for me. I do, and I love to pray for people. But I won't let you continue in your sins without me telling you, because your blood's on my hand. I love you too much. I really don't want you to walk into the lake of fire. And those people you go out to dinner living in and out of wedlock, you don't love them. You love yourself, because if you love them, you'd warn them.
Yeah.
Okay, I just preached.
Yeah.
I'll stop meddling. I got to stop preaching and go to meddling.
And like my friend says, God's not a magic lamp,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, and also, you can't live one way to
no.
pray for another.
No, yeah. you can't.
yeah. Okay, our last question. Why did Jesus call that woman a dog?
The Syrophoenician woman was trying to get her daughter healed. Jesus says, I've only come to the lost tribes of Israel, not to dogs. That was the correct word. That's what she was. A dog was a symbol of a Kenite, the descendants of Cain, the seed of Cain, the child of the devil. Actually, the Kenite is even symbolized by a dog, a jackal. Scott, you had that on, you saw one in the Supernatural
yeah.
on one of your presentations. Jesus was just calling on what she is. He wasn't insulting her. Remember, we were all with God in the first earth age in a spiritual body. And you come in, he knows you. If you're a rascal then, you're a rascal now until you get saved. So he's not going to sugarcoat it. That's what she was. She was a Kenite. That's what it means.
Yep.
Okay. You know, Scott, David put his stuff in the car and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for Scott's stuff.
All right, the Lord recently led me into an Isaiah 35 through a release of a fragrance of a rock rose. And my church and my people are like a desert and wilderness, which I will bring back to life like the rose of Sharon, with my rivers of living water, through my manifest presence dwelling among them. They will rejoice and blossom as the rose themselves.
Praise the Lord. That
Amen.
Is beautiful. Rose of Sharon.
Rose.
I had a whole musical program based on that Isaiah 35.
Oh,
the
really
rose
cool.
does bloom in the desert. I had little people come up out of the ground, turn into roses and do a dance.
Out of the rock itself. Standing
rock.
On the rock.
Yes, standing on the Amen. Rock. Boy, we'll have to do that in here with Max and Olivia. We'll have to do that.
Thank
you, Scott. Sharon. We love your new segment, Scott Stuff. That's going great. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me into your word.
Grow me into your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase the kingdom of heaven.
To increase the kingdom of heaven.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings. Oh, leukemia, leukemia, you have no power. Oh, Ryan, Ryan, live, live, Ryan, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow into the cells. Leukemia, I call you disintegrated. I just break your power. The living virtue of Jesus going into Ryan's cells. Everywhere, anywhere there's leukemia, resurrection life, the blood, the nymphodes, the cancer be gone. Live and not die. He sent his word and healed you in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. He sent his word and heal. Praise God. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you will heal, please call that and tell me that too. Because I'm running over in time, we'll have our love line next week. And remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Wait for my announcer now and call me. And this is Sherry Medlock. God bless you in Jesus' truth with love.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Yourself. You wish so bad that you can make the mark, but your dreams are stuck on a shelf. And all you want to do is turn back time and redeem the days you lost. But shame keeps calling out your name, and the chains refuse to fall. But it's not. The world with a fire deep in your soul. Your faith was strong and the call was clear. I'm sure you can make a new road. Like so many, the flame grew dark and confidence hit the wall. There always seems to be a lot of big questions. The answer seems so small. It's not over. It's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in. Walks in. It's not over. It's not over. This is a moment. Grace walks in. Grace. writing out my every sin, and you burn the book of my rebellion. You tear the pages holding everything that I regret. How you forgive me. How you forgive me.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
See you. If I had the chance to go back again.